On this episode, I interview Felicia Beza. We talk about her 100-mile attempt in New Zealand, lessons learned from racing while traveling, running tips for anyone interested in running hot races such as Lake Sonoma and the Canyons 100K, her mindset when it comes to running ultras, and being a leader of the Trail Sisters chapter in San Jose, California. Welcome to the She Runs Trails podcast. I am your host, Elements of Daisy. I am an ultra runner, founder of Wellness on the Trails, and assistant race director for SoCal Trail. Thank you for joining me today. In this podcast, I interview other female trail runners in hopes to educate, empower, and inspire more women to run on the trails. If you are a returning listener and have been enjoying the podcast, it would really mean a lot to me if you could help the podcast by leaving a review on the platform you're listening to this episode. Thank you for your support. Let's get into the show. Today's guest, we have Felicia Beza from San Jose, California. She's a vegan ultra runner with a huge passion for the outdoors and animals. She's a leader of the Trail Sisters San Jose. Felicia started running in 2017 and has ran over 33 trail races ranging from 10Ks to 100 miler. Felicia is a well-diverse runner, being a mid-pack to front-of-the-pack runner, including podium some races. Felicia, welcome to the show.
Hi, Daisy. Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us, how did you get into trail running?
Actually, it was just kind of, I like to tell people it was by accident. So I started doing a couple road races. Like you said, I'm a big lover of animals, and there was like a 5K, like animal sanctuary fundraiser run. So I signed up for that 1 year. The following year, I was like, let me try the 10K, because I did fairly well at the 5K from just not running at all to trying it that first time. And so I moved up to the 10K. And then in 2017, I tried my first half marathon benefiting the animal sanctuary. And then it just so happened that the following weekend, a friend of mine had she was signed up for a trail race, a 15K, and it was along the coast, just north, a couple hours from where I live. And her friend was supposed to run it with her, but her friend backed out last minute, so there was an extra race entry. She's like, oh, I know you just ran this race, but do you want to try this 15K trail race? And I was like, trail race? I didn't even know what a trail race was, but I was like, okay. So I went with her, and it was so fun. It was beautiful. And I ended up getting like second place, first female. And I mean, I didn't even realize, I was just running and I was just having fun while I was out there. So that was a really cool experience. And that gave, because I got first place female, they gave me some race credits for a future race. And that just kind of like snowballed.
And you're like, oh, I'm actually pretty good at this. I didn't even realize.
Idea. I've never been athletic, so it just, yeah, it was just, oh yeah.
And what led to you, how far into trail running did it take for you to run your first 50K, which was your first ultra?
I think it was about a year, maybe a year and a half. I know it was, I think, the next year in 2018, but it was like in October. And I know my first trail race was like in July, I think, of 20. I mean, I don't know, but either way, my first trail race was in July, and then I did my first 50K, not that October, but the following. So I'd say like a year and a half. And I was inspired because at my 15K trail race that I had done, which was my first trail race, there was people out there doing a 50K. So I got to hang around at the finish line and then see like the first, you know, few 50K people finish, and just to see the variety of people that were out there, you know, all different ages, and just to see that it was even possible. I didn't even know that was possible. And so I was just so inspired. And I remember I would volunteer as I was like working my way up to the 50K, I'd volunteer at races, and I would, yeah, same thing at aid stations. I would just see people coming in who were doing the 50K. And I love seeing the variety. You would see the people that are like so fast, they hardly stop or they don't stop at all. And then I would have people who would be like, I'm out here with my friends, take a group picture of us, like, you know, just hanging out, having a good time, eating aid station snacks. So it was cool. It made me see that, like, okay, like, this isn't just for one type of person. Like, that, you know, I kind of think anybody could do a trail race. I mean, maybe it doesn't have to be ultra, but yeah, I think the trails are very welcoming for everybody. So, yeah.
What would you say someone who's considering volunteering at a trail race, but is a little hesitant, they're just scared, they've never done this before? What's some like words of encouragement to maybe want to go do it?
I would say that, like, it's so fun. Like, you, like, everybody is so appreciative. Like, the runners that come through, they're always thanking you for being there. So you never feel like you feel like you're a part of something. Like, you feel like you're helping them, you know, reach their goal, and like, get to be like quick, you know, see these people in action. And I remember in the very beginning, I literally would be driving down the road, and if I saw someone with like a 50K bumper sticker or 100-mile bumper sticker, I would like, and I still kind of do this, but I would drive up and try to like look at them like, who is this person? Like, as if they were like a celebrity. Like, who are these people that are running these distances? Like, I was just so, yeah. So anyways, I would say you get inspired, and everybody is so welcoming. So I highly recommend it to anybody, especially people that are trying to go from road to trail races. Like, if you're nervous, go volunteer first, and you'll get to see what it's like, what the vibe is. And I guarantee you'll feel way more confident to sign up and, yeah, get out there.
So you've done distances from 10K to last year, you did your first 100 miler. What is your favorite distance to run and why?
I think about this a lot. I would just have to say 50K because I love like how you can get it done in a day and still have some daylight. Well, I mean, at least the pace that I'm going. And I feel like most people's pace, like you can get it done, you know, within before the sun goes down usually. And it's just so cool to like see so much trails and, you know, and I want to say a short amount of time. It's not really a short amount of time. It's a long amount of time, but like within a day, you know, like, I don't know. I just love it. And it's so fun. And I feel like for me, at least in my body, like I feel the best doing 50Ks. Like it's, I don't know. My body, I feel like is like, I was like, okay, this is my perfect distance. But I also do like, I've done, I think 200Ks. I liked the 100K. I basically like anything between 50K and 100K. I think I've only done 250 miles and 200Ks, but I liked them both. I did the 100-miler. Those are harder. I feel like I need more practice with the 100-mile distance. I actually just did my second one last month and learned a lot. It was in New Zealand, so there's like a whole time change situation and course reroute with us having to wake up earlier than expected and all that. So I definitely the 100-mile distance is exciting and it's fun, but it's harder for me because I'm so short on like vacation time. And I feel like with the 100-miler and the two that I've done have been far away for me. Like, so my first one was in Illinois. I live in California, so I had to travel for that. And then obviously New Zealand, I had to travel for that. And I'm always so short on vacation time. And I realized like with 100-miler, you really need to have time to like acclimate to getting to the place that you're at and be there a few days ahead of time and make sure that you have time like traveling back and not just like my first 100-miler I did. I finished at like 7 a.m. and my flight out was like at 6 p.m., but I had to drive like 2 hours to get there. So it was just like a whole thing. And I ended up not feeling so great on the plane. And so, okay. Like, yeah, I have to, so that's why I'm like 50K is something that I can get done in a day. That's tiring, but that I can recover just because of the way my life is. I work full time and I go on a lot of vacations. And so I'm always like maxing it out and really trying to like get in these like weekend trips. So I think 50K works best for that right now. And I just realized that, like, you know, reflecting back on my efforts and I'm like, okay, 100-mile, you need to really like, it needs to be like your A race, as some people refer to races where that's your goal, that's your everything. And
What advice would you give someone training for their first 50K or anything that you wish you knew when you were running your first 50K?
Okay. I would say to definitely have fun and to not, don't get so stressed out about it. I know some people like to have like a time goal, which is great. Like, you know, you want to have something to aim for. But I would just say for your first time to just try to have fun, like try to make that your number one, and then maybe put your time goal number two or number three, because it's going to be a longer distance than you're used to. And you don't know what's going to pop up. You don't know if you're going to have stomach issues, if maybe, you know, something like a muscle may cramp, or you just don't know what's going to come up. So to not put so much pressure on like, oh, I had this time goal and I'd been training for this time goal, because then I think it might spoil your experience. So I think for like when you're first trying a distance, you should just try to have the goal of like finishing and having fun and like enjoying the trails. Like you're going to be seeing so much miles of trails. You might as well like, you know, take it all in, stop and take a picture. So, yeah.
So you mentioned you ran your second 100-mile New Zealand. How was that experience running an international ultra compared to all the races you've done here in the U.S.? What was that experience, or how was that like?
It was cool. I mean, I liked it. There's a lot of similarities just in the way of like, you know, how the race was ran, how the aid station, you know, everyone was still very supportive, great trail community. But it was just hard because I didn't factor in the humidity. The course that we were supposed to do, there was damage to the course. So things got changed around. Like, for example, my Airbnb was supposed to be 3 minutes from the start line. And it was supposed to start at 5 a.m. And then instead they had to change it to where we needed to be at the buses at 2:30 in the morning. Nobody could drop us off at the start line. And it was like a 45-minute bus ride to the start line, and we ended up starting at like 4 a.m. instead. So for me, I had to wake up at like 1:45 in the morning, and I had barely gone to bed, you know, like at 9 p.m. the night before. And it's hard. Like I woke up like, you know, in the middle of the night, like just thinking about the race, and I'm like, oh my God, I gotta wake up in like an hour. Like, and so I was so tired, and I'm not one to do caffeine, and I will in a race like towards the end if it's getting like desperate, but I just didn't want to start it. So I don't know. And so it was really hard. And so I learned that, okay, like maybe we were there 3 days before the race, but still we weren't acclimated. Like we still like were going to bed at like midnight. Like we just couldn't get on the time zone for some reason. And so I learned that like I mentioned before, like getting there, I would say even maybe a week or 5 days. 3 days for us just wasn't enough because we were also traveling down to the race. And so yeah, definitely. Oh, and the hydration and thinking about the humidity, and just making sure that you're hydrated while you're traveling, because you know you're on the plane dehydrates you, and make sure that you're keeping up on eating well, and not missing, you know, because maybe you don't like the plain food. Well, then bring yourself some snacks, because you don't want to start, you know, being, you know, you don't want to be deficient in calories the week before a race or anything. You want to be primed and ready to go. So yeah,
you want to make sure you don't eat something new that you've never had before in a new country, and then it upsets your stomach, and then you have like stomach issues in this race that you never been, you know, you never done before. How did you manage the mental? I'm sure you're doing this 100-mile race at another country, and now you have this like last minute changes. I'm sure that mentally impacted you somehow in how you even performed in your race. How did you navigate through that so it wouldn't discourage you from even hitting the starting line?
Yeah, to be honest, I was mentally pretty low, because I don't really get tired. Like if you talk to any of my friends, they're like, oh, Felicia has so much energy. Like they always like comment on that about how much energy I have. And I'm like, yes, but I do get tired. And in this instance, like waking up at 1:45 in the morning, like I tell people I've never been so tired in my life. And even on the bus ride, like I just could not snap out of it. It was weird. I almost wanted to tell them, like, I don't even think I should start. But they do, the native Maori people of New Zealand, they did like a haka at the start line. And so it's like their native, like, you know, kind of like a warrior call. And they were telling us, you know, like, you guys are welcome on our land. And, you know, so that really, like, that kind of woke me up. That got me excited. And so I was like, okay, let's just, And then I was like fighting it in my head, because I know, like, when you think negative, like, especially in a trail race, your mental game is like so important. And I just was trying to fight like the negative thoughts of like, oh my gosh, you're like fighting against all odds at this point, is what it felt like. And then I'd be like, no, don't think that, because that's not helpful. And so I just kind of told myself, let's just go as far as you can and let's just see what happens. And so I ended up getting 106K, so like 64 miles. And then I finally, and it was looped courses, so it ended up being like three loops. I did two loops, and at the end of the second loop, I was like, I'm done. And it was like nighttime, and that was the only spot on the course that I knew I'd be able to call my, I didn't have crew. I was crewless. I made a lot of mistakes. I was like, now looking back on it, I was like, this is my second 100 miler. I had a lot of support in my first one. I should have had people crewing me, especially being that tired, because I thought I was eating enough like while I was running. But after the race, looking back on what I had left in my drop bags and stuff, I'm like, oh no, I should have been eating way more. And because I was vegan, normally I'm fine at aid stations finding food, but over there they would have like, they wouldn't have peanut butter and jelly. It would be like butter and jelly. And so butter's not vegan. And so I wouldn't eat it. And then there was one aid station, they had pizza, and there was Domino's, and there was vegan Domino's pizza. And so I was all excited, but they had ran out of the vegan. So I was like, damn it. And in that instance, like if I had crew, they could have gone into town, which was convenient to some of the aid stations, and met me at the next one and given me food. But I was just thinking like, because I did have a friend and my fiance with me, but I didn't want to like bother them, because we were also trying to be on vacation after the race, and I didn't want to bother them. But now looking back on it, I'm like, okay, if you're doing a 100 miler, I mean, some people can do it by themselves, but I wouldn't recommend your first times to do it on your own. But I think in the future, I'm just going to be like, you know what, I need help, and just accept the fact that like, I need support. And yeah, so.
So did you finish? Did you finish the whole 100? Like how, or did you just stop at mile 64? Oh,
I stopped at mile 64. Yeah.
If you were to do this race again, so you will get more support, you'll definitely have support, and you have more food. Do you feel that was the main two things that really impacted the reason not keep going? It's just the food. And do you feel that not properly fueling is probably a, you know, popular reason why a lot of people kind of give up in whatever distance they're doing?
Yeah. I definitely think it was the sleep and the fueling. And yeah, I think maybe if the sleep and if I was like being good about eating on my own, then I probably could have finished. And then obviously the support of the crew definitely would have, you know, helped me finish. And I do think that fueling, it is a factor in people finishing. And I don't think we really know, we don't even really think about it like when it's happening or even afterwards. I don't think some people put that piece together. Even myself included, which is why I still am, because I have dealt with this in the past and I still continually have the same issues. But it's just hard because, you know, when your stomach's bothering you and you're like, oh, I just had a gel, like I'm fine, like maybe I don't need to eat, you know, at this, you know, even though it's the next, you know, 45 minutes that you said you were going to eat. And so you try to like, you know, your body doesn't want it. And so you're like, okay, I don't need it. And then that can snowball though. And you feel it. Like I feel it in my body when I am like under fueled. You can just tell like your legs are just not performing. Like they're like literally like in need of something, like give me fuel. But it's definitely hard. And that's why it's hard for me to fuel, is like, it'll be like stomach issues. And that's what was happening in New Zealand. It was like stomach issues. But I also thought that I was doing pretty well. And I think that's the tiredness. Like I was tired. And so I was under fueling. And then because I was under fueling, that only made my brain even more tired, you know, because that's like the first thing that kind of goes when you're under fueling besides your legs, is your brain. Like if you stop and you get to an aid station and you realize like, oh wait, like things aren't working that great, it's probably because you're not eating enough, you know, like, so.
And as a vegan runner, what's your, like your go-to fuel on the trail, and also like, do you eat before you go for a run when you're training or after your runs?
Mm-hmm. While I'm running, okay. So usually like before a race, I like to eat, especially if it's like an early race, I usually just eat like a Clif Bar. I like the white chocolate macadamia Clif Bars. They happen to be vegan. And then during the race, I like Spring Energy. They have a few vegan flavors. I think there's like a Canterbury. That one's my favorite. Unfortunately, my favorite one is like the lower calorie one. They have some higher calorie ones, but so I like Spring Energy, and then I'll do like Fig Bars, and then at like aid stations and stuff, if they have like PB&J, I'll have PB&J, little sandwiches, salty chips, pretzels, fruit, and then just a variety of bars that I like. Like there's like some Fig Bars and a couple of vegan protein bars. And I'll like, while I'm running, I'll just like, when I'm talking about eating bars on the trail, I'll just like break off little pieces and try to finish the full bar within like, you know, a 15-minute time frame. And like when I go through aid stations, I like to be very quick. I like to carry most of my water and then like stop only like maybe like 30 miles into it because I'm ran out of water. Now I need to stop and fill up water. But when I go to the aid stations, I try to be as fast as possible. I don't really like stopping my momentum. So the first few aid stations I kind of fly through, and then it's more like the last aid stations. Then I'll start like slowing down and like seeing what they have and walking or, you know, hiking through them and stuff. But yeah, so it's a lot of fruit, a lot of bars, PB&J. And then like when I did like some of my 100Ks, I would have like these tortilla, hummus, tofurkey wraps, stuff like that.
Yeah, you did the Canyons endurance run. That's I've heard that's a really tough 100K. What were your thoughts on that race?
Yeah, that was tough. I was thinking like, oh, I'm going to finish and the sun's still going to be out. It was dark when I finished. It took me 16 hours, just over 16 hours. And yeah, it was tough. I liked it though, because at that time I was like really well trained for that, all that uphill, all that downhill. So I had a good time during the race. The last like 15, 20 miles were tough because the sun was going down. It started to get colder and it was just a lot of up and a lot of down, just kind of like the whole course. And so it was a little like, oh my gosh, are we done with all this climbing? And then the last few miles, it was pitch black and there was like some snow that had that was on the trail, and a lot of it was like melting. So there's these huge like icy snow puddles you were running through, and you were trying to avoid them, and then it was just no point. You just had to go through them. And so that just kind of sucked. Like it was like at least a good 3 miles of that at the end. But once I like finally, and it's just pitch dark through these like pine trees at the end, and finally you hear the music, and just so happened that there was a song I really like on. And so I just like geared up and I just like sprinted it through the finish. So that was good. And I was really proud of that effort. Because yeah, there were some low moments. And of course, when you get to the aid stations, every time I got to an aid station, I would feel so good. There was one time where I think there's like a Forest Hill aid station, which there's all this crew is like lined up and everyone's cheering you on. So I felt so good when I was there. And I swear to God, as soon as I left, as soon as I walked away, I felt like horrible again. I'm like, hey, what happened? Like all the pain came back and all the dread of like, oh no, we still got, you know, many more miles to go. But it's just, I love how the aid stations like energize you and make you feel like, okay, I can keep going.
If you were to do Canyons, or anybody who's interested in doing Canyons, what advice would you give them going into this race and they're in their training, or kind of what something that caught you off guard that you wish you knew when you were going into this race? It's a very popular race. I know a lot of people, essentially it's a bucket list race for many.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I think it goes like along some of the Western States trail. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So I would say that definitely work on like hiking steep hills. I mean, you're going to be able to run some of it, but a lot of it you're just going to be hiking. And I would definitely focus on just trails with a lot of vert. Focus on that really. And the canyons can get really hot. I know this year they actually have a lot of snow on the course because of, you know, it's just been a weird year for California. But even if it's like maybe only like 60 degrees outside, for whatever reason, the sunshine in the canyons can be really intense and it feels like you're baking in there. So just be aware of that. And so don't wear a lot of layers. Make sure like that you have, I would honestly just wear shorts and a t-shirt, maybe even a tank top, because it can get really hot out there. And when you're going up and down hills, like, you know, you get hot. So I would just, like I said, focus on hills and just expect that you're probably going to be hiking a lot, especially towards the end there, because and make sure you feel correctly, because your body's going to need it.
Is there anything that you've done in the past to help with heat training?
Yeah, so I did Lake Sonoma 100K. I think that was my other 100K that I did. And that one landed it on like Labor Day weekend, and it's in Sonoma. So I knew it was going to be extremely hot, and it ended up being 106 degrees that day that we did the race. And so I did sauna training. I listened to a podcast where somebody, you know, like broke it all down, and I didn't follow it to a T, but I would go into the sauna and, you know, I started with a short amount of time and I would progress, and I did it over, you know, a course of like 6 to 8 weeks before the race. And I think it really helped. But also for me in that race, I did a lot of mindset training. I was like, I want to finish this race. And I listened to a podcast where the guy was interviewing somebody who is like a mindset like sports mindset guy. And he's written a lot of books about like, you know, finishing and just getting through, you know, painful or tough experiences. And he basically said, like, if you want to finish something, you have to tell yourself, like, I'm going to do this or I'm going to die. And I know that sounds really dramatic, but I'm kind of dramatic. And I told myself that. And I was like, I mean, to an extent, obviously, like I wasn't going to seriously do that. But I mean, I told my mind that. And I told myself, like, it's going to suck. It's going to be so hot. Like, I hate running in the heat. So for me, I knew that, like, I was going to have to prep myself before going into it, because I knew I was going to not enjoy the experience exactly. So I would actually complain to people before the race. Like, I would like be like, I'm gonna do this race, it's gonna be so hot, it's gonna be so hard. Like, and I know that sounds weird, but like, it helped for me. I knew it was helping me mentally, because I knew if I could like complain about it beforehand, that during the race I was just gonna be like, okay, this is what I was expecting, this is what I was telling everybody that I was gonna be enduring, and look, here I am. And when it came down to the race, that's exactly what I did. I was like, oh, you know, this is where we are. And I remember I was on a really steep hill, and the sun's beating down on us, and there's this other trail runner male next to me, and we're just like talking to each other about how much it's sucking. And I'm like, yeah, we're having a party in the pain cave. Like, it's here, it's right now, like, it's happening, like, here it is. And in a way it was kind of cool, because I had told myself this was going to happen, and then it happened, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's happening. And so in a weird way, I was like slightly excited about the pain. Like, I was like, oh yay, it came. Like, I knew, just like I knew. So.
And going through the pain cave, I'm sure this is just one experience of the many times where you've been in that, like, this sucks, this is not fun. How do you navigate through that for you? Like, what helps you push through it when it does suck? And what makes you keep coming back? Because most people outside of the ultra running community, they think we're crazy, right? They think, like, you probably heard this, man, I get tired even driving that far when you tell them the distances that you run. What keeps you coming back? And how do you, well, first the question is, how do you navigate through the pain cave? What are some things that have helped you? And why do you keep doing this?
Yeah. I guess I think, like, for as far as like getting through the pain cave, like I feel like For me, it's kind of like a personal thing. Like, it's like a, I don't know. Like, I get like a sense of, like, you can, like, I don't know. Like, I get like a sense of some sort of fulfillment out of it. Like conquering a goal. Like I said, I've never been athletic. And so all of this kind of came, like, I found trail running just kind of randomly. And so, or not randomly, but, you know, I was outside. I liked nature. And then, you know, I used to hike a lot before I started trail running, and now I'm into trail running. But I feel like it, I don't know, it, like, I guess, like, pushing through the pain, it kind of shows me that in other instances in life that I can push through hard things, and that I have done that in the past in my life. And so I'm almost, I'd almost, and then maybe in those instances, like those hard situations or whatever, weren't my choice or my decision. That's just what happened in life. And I like that with trail running, like, this is a pain that I'm choosing. This is a pain that I'm, like, you know, that I'm going to conquer and that I'm going to push through. And so when I do that, I get this, like, sense of, like, oh, I can do stuff. Like, I am capable. I am strong. I am, you know, like, someone that, I don't know, like, it's, and in my first 50 mile experience, it made me realize, like, that I was almost, like, not giving myself enough credit. And it, and when I remember, in that race, like, my fiance, at the time he was my boyfriend, but he was pacing me, and he was like, oh, look, like, there's the finish line. It's up ahead. And I saw it, and, like, I started, like, tearing up, because it made me realize, like, I'd been so hard on myself, like, my whole life, like, through the training, through everything. And, but only in that moment was I realizing, like, how hard I've always been on myself. And so, to, like, get through, like, the pain cave and to push through, like, it just reminds me of, like, you know, that I am capable of getting through life, you know, because trail running is kind of like a metaphor for life, like, just all the ups and downs that you go through, all the low moments where you feel like you can't keep going, but somehow, you know, you do. And so, yeah, I get fulfillment out of it. But it definitely, I know it's not the way other people get fulfillment out of life. And I know it sounds weird. I definitely like the challenge. I love going up, like the hilly courses and stuff, like, something about that, like, just the pure, like, grind of it is just, I don't know. I like it.
And what keeps you coming back? Like, what is it about ultra running that just, you're just like, I'm just going to sign up again, aside from all the obstacles? Like, is there something specific about ultra running that you really like to get, like, this is why you do certain distances?
I think it's just the extremeness of it. Like, just the fact that, like, humans can go so far, just pushing yourself. And, like, I love that. And I like the people that I meet. There's something about people that run ultras, like, they're just, like, good people. And something about the fact that, like, I don't know, like, I love the people. I love seeing so much beauty on the trail. Like, that's, it's honestly, the beauty of the trail is usually what gets me. And then the people, the community, and just, yeah, like, just, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of years in my past where I just kind of, like, I don't know, I wasn't active. I wasn't outside. I feel like I kind of, like, wasted some of my younger years. And so when I go out and I do ultras and stuff, I feel like I'm almost not reclaiming those years, but, like, I feel like I'm doing what I should. And I feel like I'm embracing life, or, like, living my life to the fullest. Yeah.
And how do you balance and manage? You mentioned you work a full-time job. You're limited with, you know, VHT, vacation time. Like, we just have the regular traditional vacation time. When you're training for these hard races, I imagine it takes a lot of those hours. You know, training takes a lot of those hours, and the higher the endurance, the run, the longer the run, the more hours training is needed. How do you balance when life is hitting you with curveballs and you need to get a training run in, and then, you know, you have other things happening outside of running? How do you navigate through that?
Yeah. For me, I've had to balance it, because before, like, when I first started running ultras, I'd try to, like, really fit in all of my runs, and even if life was getting really stressful. And sometimes that works, because sometimes, you know, like, this like running can relieve some of that stress. But sometimes, like, you know, your body's just, you know, you're just exhausted. You just need to rest. And I feel like before, when I would try to, like, you know, be 100% with my training and life stress, I was getting injured. And so a lot of the times, if something, you know, in my life that is really stressful, or if I'm getting really busy, I'll have to think about, like, okay, well, what race am I training for? Can I, you know, should I just take a rest day? Can I, like, skip this? Like, because I really am starting to favor rest over just trying to push through, because I did that a lot in the past, my first few years of trail racing. And I also was just doing a lot of races, and I just learned that, like, you need to find balance. And other people do fine. Other people can do large volume and work a full job, you know, training volume at least, and, you know, work full time and do all of it. But I definitely will, I definitely run on the lower end of mileage than other people do and that other people suggest. I would say, like, if I was really trying to get, like, you know, in the top 10, or, you know, try to get, like, third place or something, then maybe I would, you know, shift it. But, yeah, I just try to, like, case by case basis. Like, I try to stick to, obviously I want to stick to my training plans, because, you know, it's a big investment to do an ultra race and to do that. But I definitely am being more mindful of, okay, maybe you just need to rest.
What does your training look like? Do you incorporate cross training, strength training, other things aside from running? Do you base focus more on, like, quality versus quantity? How we can use Canyons as an example. I know a lot of people are familiar with that race. But how did you train for that, and how do you kind of set up your training plan?
Yeah. So, like, for Canyons, I would say that I was focusing mostly on, like, doing trail runs. When I'm doing other races, I'll be fine with, like, you know, doing some flat road, you know, road running. I definitely did do, you know, like, some 5 mile, you know, runs around my house for Canyons, but I was definitely focusing on trails with Canyons. And like I said, I was doing sauna training with Canyon. I did sauna training with Lake Sonoma, but I did do it for Canyons, just not as much. And then I also, what I like to do is I'll do a race that's similar, like within a time frame. And unfortunately, I think this time I did, like, Lake Sonoma right before Canyons. I don't know if that's correct or not, but I definitely like to do other races, like, that, either whether it be a 50K, usually it's a 50K, but I think in that case I might have done Lake Sonoma before Canyons.
You did. You did the 50 milers in April, and then, yeah, it was like in April 9th. Yeah, like a few weeks before, and then you did Canyons in April 23rd.
I wouldn't exactly recommend that, only because, I would recommend it if you can pull back in races, but my problem is that every time I do a race, I like to go 100%. So if I think I should have gone a little lighter on Lake Sonoma, like, just, you know, gone a little easier. In the end, it was fine. I wasn't injured or anything at Canyons, but I just think, like, oh, I probably shouldn't have pushed it so hard at Lake Sonoma, you know, my legs would have been a little more fresh for Canyons. But I definitely think it helped. I was like, oh, after doing Lake Sonoma, because there's also a lot of vert in that one, it was almost like, okay, I could do Canyons. So I definitely like to do a race that is either similar or comparable elevation profile to the race that I'm doing. And definitely Lake Sonoma was similar to Canyons. So
do you catch yourself being, like, naturally competitive person, and you're just like, I'm just going to try to do my best and see where it takes me?
It's so funny, because I never thought that, like, I was competitive. I didn't even think I had an ego, and man, oh my gosh, it comes out in the trails. It's very interesting, because I don't think of myself like that. But yeah, like, I did a half marathon recently. It was a trail half marathon. And I wasn't trying to, like, I told myself this at least. I'm not trying, like, I don't care. I'm just going to finish, you know? And then I remember there was this guy, and he was behind me, and I was like, so, and it was an out and back. And I was like, oh, heck no. Like, I knew I could kind of see him, and I just, like, did not want him to pass me. And in the end, he didn't pass me, but I was like, oh my gosh, why did I care so much? Like, why?
So. But do you feel like this helps you be more like, not necessarily like allows you to push more of your limits, right? Like to see what you're capable of, because now someone's chasing you, you're not chasing the clock. So it's kind of like, okay, if that person wasn't chasing you, would have ran it as fast as you did?
Oh yeah, definitely. Or even like if someone's in front of me and I can see them, I'll be like, oh, like I want to keep them in eyesight. And I know if they weren't there, I probably maybe would be walking more of this hill, and now I'm running half of it. So yeah.
For your training runs, do you normally run by yourself? Do you run with groups? Do you run with friends?
Yeah. I typically for training runs run by myself. But there are times where I'll do longer runs. I like to try to find somebody else who is willing or has the same training plan that they need to do. So I would say it's more like 80% by myself, 20% with other people. It's getting more so because I'm a leader of a trail group now. It's been about almost 2 years now. The first year was kind of quiet. So, but anyway, yeah, it's mostly by myself, but if people are willing to share miles, I'm always down to share miles.
And how do you find the courage to go run by yourself? Were you ever scared? I know that's something with women. It's hard to find the courage or motivation to go out for a trail run. What essentially has helped you? What helps you? Just do it.
Yeah. I would say that I feel pretty confident by myself out on the trails. I started backpacking by myself probably around the same time that I got into at least got into trail running. So, I mean, backpacking by yourself versus doing a day trail run feels like nothing now to me, at least. So I feel very comfortable doing most of my trail runs. The only times where I don't feel comfortable is like sometimes early morning or in the dark, for example, just because we do have mountain lions where I live, and I don't know. I know they don't really go after people, but I just feel like I'm like the size of a deer. I'm like perfect. I'm a perfect size. And I also have a little chihuahua that I run with a lot. So I'm like, oh God, if we're both together, then we really are a snack. But yeah, he usually likes to run like 5 to 7 miles. So I don't get to do a lot of training with him just because usually I'm trying to go longer. But other than that, like, I feel pretty confident. Yeah. I feel confident. I mean, I wouldn't suggest not knowing where you're going, but like, I'll go to a place and I feel fairly confident. Like, I'm not going to get lost. Like, I don't know. And I have, like wilderness first aid training, and I've done tons of backpacking. And so I just feel really comfortable outside. But I definitely realize, and as I've talked to more women, that's definitely something that I think, keeps women from, you know, trail running, is that they're nervous to get out there by themselves.
Having the backpacking experience, how do you compare backpacking and ultra running? Do you feel like there's a lot of similarity? Do you feel like it blends, it helps with, you know, one or the other?
Yeah, I actually like the blend because I think backpacking is great training for trail running. Like, I don't know what it is, but every time I do a backpacking trip and then I go for a trail run, like, I'm like, ooh, like everything feels so good. Like, you're also not carrying a big old weight on your back. That might be the reason, but I definitely think, I mean, you're working the same muscles. It makes you slow down. And I don't know. I just feel like it's working your body in almost the same way that you would be trail running. And I guess just the, you know, figuring out your route is kind of similar to, you know, like figuring out a run route. You know, you need to know where you're going, the mileage, all that. Planning ahead, making sure you have the correct supplies, like making sure you have enough water, food, obviously being, you know, leave no trace and all that. Like when I'm out there running, I try to make sure I'm not dropping gel wrappers, and obviously the same thing as backpacking. And I think the similarities, I guess, like with backpacking, you get to like see, you know, like nature that you normally wouldn't see if you were just camping. And then that's kind of similar to like when you're trail running, you get to see a lot more trail versus if you were just hiking or if you were just walking. So, yeah.
Do you feel for like the backpacking that, oh, I guess, what do you like better, the backpacking or the trail running? If you had to pick one, or the ultra running?
I think ultra running. I just like the fast-pacedness of it. Like, I like backpacking, but I haven't gone more than 2 days backpacking. So I haven't covered much ground in a backpacking trip versus obviously like I've done 100-miler, I've done 100K. So I've gotten to see a lot more. And you just get to see a lot more, you know, it's lightweight, it's quick. That's the thing. Like, you can go back to your bed at the end of the day. Like, I don't mind sleeping outside, but I think it's cool. Like, you could do the same, you could run the same trail that you were going to backpack in a day versus like the backpacking route might take you 2 to 3 days. Like, so yeah, can't beat that quickness.
It's a different experience though, huh? Because when you're camp backpacking, you get to enjoy the nature more. You get to stay out there for a little longer. I know there's times where I did the Ray Lakes loop and I wish when I was at the Ray Lakes, I was like, wow, I really wish I could have stayed here for the night. It was just so gorgeous. I was sad that I had to I couldn't even stay for like 5 minutes. We took a quick snack break, but we just had to keep going because the sun was coming down. And it's moments like those where you're just like, okay, maybe this is when I wish I would have backpacked here. It would have made the visit a little bit more rewarding. How do you do it as a female, like with your menstrual cycle? How do you train through it? Do you just kind of, when you know you're in your period, do you just hold off from training? And or do you just go based on feel? Like, how do you navigate that through your training?
Yeah, it definitely affects my training. I notice it every month. I always get really tired, and it's always the week before that I get really tired. And so at first I was just, you know, trying to battle through it, trying to train through it. But now that I've like, you know, kind of realized that, oh, that's what it is. You know, it's the menstrual cycle, it's the hormones. I try to be gentle with myself. And if I'm just not feeling it or I'm just feeling exhausted, then I'll skip the workout. But I definitely try to be mindful of that. And I know some people say like, oh, I feel amazing on the day of my period. That's not always the case for me. This month it was, shockingly. I was working out. I was running and I was like, oh, I feel so good. But normally that's not the case. So I guess case by case basis, because it almost seems not that it's different every month, but there are some slight, you know, differences but I definitely unfortunately feel a difference. You know, it definitely kind of, you know, it causes some, you know, thought and rearranging of my training plan, for sure.
Do you feel giving yourself that more self-care, self-love of like nurturing what your body is doing at the moment, which is, you know, it's releasing all the toxins inside our body, just acknowledging like, you know, it's okay to get the rest because my body right now is doing a lot. And just instead of beating yourself down, like, oh my God, I should be running. I'm not running. I'm a failure. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, how do you, for you, how has that experience been? Do you feel like, yes, I don't regret nurturing myself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now that I realize like I should, like, I don't know why, like I feel like at first I didn't realize that I was being hard on myself. I just thought that like, well, like, I don't know, like just like it's your period, like everyone gets one. Like, why are you, you know, I was being hard on myself and I didn't realize that. But now that I realize like, oh, like I should be gentle and like, you know, like, yeah, your body is going through, you know, something. And so now I'm definitely leaning into being more gentle and realizing that, yeah, my body's going through something and beating myself up is not helpful. If anything, it like is just wasting energy. And I just don't feel good. So why make yourself not feel good? Why not be, you know, more loving to yourself? Because I realized that in ultras too, like you can't negative self-talk yourself while you're out there. You're not going to finish. You're not going to finish a race if you're telling yourself like all these negative things. So why in other parts of your life would you think that that's going to be helpful? So that's one thing that Ultras taught me, is like being negative with yourself and beating yourself up is not going to help you in any way. Like, it's just not. Like, if you want to have a pity party, you can, but it's not going to be helpful. So
and it's definitely not going to solve the problem. So it's like you're just making it worse for yourself. You mentioned you're a leader of a group. If you want to talk a little bit about Trail Sisters, what's Trail Sisters and kind of how did you get involved with Trail Sisters and what do you do? And if you have any listeners from San Jose or in the area where you're at, maybe, you know, they can join the group.
Yeah. So Trail Sisters is a community of women, with a very similar mission to your podcast, She Runs Trails, where we're just trying to encourage women to get out on the trails and hiking and just encourage more participation in trail running for women through empowerment, inspiration, and education. So the founder is Gina Lucrezzi, and there's pretty much Trail Sisters, I think, in all 50 states, I believe, and anyone can start up their local chapter. I found out about them through a friend who lived in Santa Cruz, because there's a Trail Sisters group there. And I would go on my weekends over to Santa Cruz because it's really beautiful. They have redwoods and I would run trails. And so I was like, oh, I might as well, you know, run with people since there's a group over there. And so I ran with them a few times and it was a great community. I loved that it was all women and everyone was very supportive. And I found out that we had one here in San Jose, but the leader had just moved to Oregon. And so I reached out to her and she's like, oh, do you want to take it over? And I was like, oh, okay, sure. And so that's how I got started. And I just, I live in San Jose, which is the San Francisco Bay Area. And we have a lot of running groups here. We're really lucky, but no like specific like trail running groups, and especially no women trail running groups. So I was like, and I was trying to find other women to run trails with. And so, I knew that there were women trail runners. I figured might as well, like, you know, help connect other women together. And it's been really awesome. We do like weekly Tuesday night trail runs. Granted, with the sun, we just started up in March and then it usually goes to like September. And then on the weekends, we try to do group trail runs. And we hope to do like in the future, maybe like camping trips. But it's just been really cool to have women, you know, come together. And we've actually had a lot of people that it was their first time trail running, or they did it in the past, but they don't really do it because, like we mentioned, they're nervous to get out there on their own. They're like, oh, I don't know where the trails go, or I don't know how to look on a map and figure out what the distance is. So it's kind of nice for them. It's like a no brainer. I'm like, okay, we're going to do 5 miles. We're going to do 4 miles. It's usually really easy pace. We like to kind of cater our pace to just whatever the group kind of feels. And we always wait at trail intersections just in case anyone does fall behind. We never leave anyone behind. So we'll wait at, you know, a trail intersection so everyone catches up before we continue on. And it's just been really good and a good excuse to get out, you know, after work during the week and decompress. And we've got, you know, seen wildlife. We've seen sunsets. On one of our weekend runs, we got to see like some snow in the redwoods. So that was cool. And it's just, yeah, it's been really good.
Do you notice the difference between running with a co-ed group versus an all-women's group?
I do. I love my co-ed groups. I do know some really great, you know, male trail runners, but there's just like this, I don't know, like this carefree, relaxed, no, like non-competitive vibe at like the women, you know, groups. And we can talk about things that like, that the guys just don't understand about. Like we have like, you know, we will be talking about our different trail running vests and how like we have our bottles here and things are like jiggling. Talk to a male about that. Like, I mean, you can, but they might be, they're like, "Ooh, are you coming on to me?" Like, and so it's just nice to have, like, you know, like, just know that it's platonic, know that you're just there, you know, with other women, complaining about the same type of issues, and whether that's in trail running or life. And yeah, it's just nice to have that sisterhood, especially because I think sometimes it's kind of intimidating, because like, you'll go to trail races and it's a lot of guys. I always try to look at how many women are in the race that I'm running. Occasionally it'll be 50%, and I'll be like, oh my God, really? Like, this is a miracle. But a lot of the times it's not. And so I think, and so when you see a bunch of guys, they look so serious. They look so like, oh, I've been out here, I've been training, and, you know, I don't know. It can kind of like make you feel like you don't belong. Like, oh, like maybe like, well, oh, why am I here? Like, when they look, I don't know. And so it's nice to see other women and just to see like, okay, like, I don't know. Like, yeah, it's just nice to see friendly faces and just know that like, we're just out here to move our bodies, to, you know, relieve some stress, take in the nature and have fun. Yeah.
What's a common, I guess, problem you hear women talking about, or issue, whether it's like apparel, finding the right sports bra or shorts? I never heard of guys chafing. And I feel like, I don't know if this is a woman problem. I actually, now that I think about it, I'm thinking this out loud. I was like, I don't recall ever hearing a guy chafing in between their legs or in their thighs. But yeah, chafing in places that you're just like, wow, I didn't even know I can shave here. Like, what are some, at least, you know, you can share one or a few of what you think it's like common. And just kind of, I would like you to share it, just because I'm pretty sure there's something that you might mention that a woman probably is going through right now. And she probably thinks she's the only one going through this. And it's kind of like, no, it's pretty common.
Yeah. Definitely. I would say like, pack, like the way the packs are sometimes, I'm like, I don't know. It's either like, it's just not fitting, or like, I don't know. There's just always an issue around the bust area with a lot of packs, I find. And then I would say one thing that, I mean, at least that I've noticed is like, I don't know. You know how like they have men's podiums and women's podiums? I've been out in races, and I have guys like, and I can tell they're like really like competing with me, which is fine, you know, whatever. But also like, after the race, like, but I won't even be noticing them. It's only until after the race they'll come up to me and be like, oh, I was chasing you, or, oh, I can't believe you passed me. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know we were like, I didn't know we were racing each other. Cause like, technically, like, I mean, there's the women's first, second, and third, and there's the men's first, second, and third. And usually that's kind of what they're talking about. So I'm like, why are they trying to race me when either way, like, we would have different podiums? So I get a lot of like, and just interesting comments from the guys. Like, they're almost surprised that like, I would be able to pass them, or that I would finish in front of them. And I think they're trying to compliment me, but I also hear like the shock, or there's just something about it that it's like, thanks, but it's, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's just interesting. I've noticed just the fact that women being towards the front, it does something to them. I don't know. There's something, an ego thing. I don't know what it is. And I don't ever hear anyone talk about it, probably because I don't know, it's kind of awkward to talk about, but I definitely feel it.
it's like a backhanded compliment, right? It's like, I'm giving you a compliment, but not really. And we see it a lot with Courtney, DeWalter. Like, she beats the guys, right? Like, she's getting first place overall. And you have some guys I see some comments, so they're just trolling her. And it's just like, dude, like, you wish you can do half as much as what she can do. But they're just so embarrassed of like, yeah, a woman can beat you. And maybe that is something like, I feel the only reason we don't have that many, like, if overall, if you look at like, let's say top 10 overall, the reason why there's not that many women in the top 10 overall, yes, guys are naturally biologically faster when we do like the shorter distance. But if you start looking, like stats shows, like the longer distance, you start looking at the 100 milers, those 200 milers, women are just can be just as fast as guys. And I think the only reason we see more guys top 10 or top 20 is because there's more guys running. So if 75% of the runners are male, then 75% of the top 10 are going to be male. Like it's, we need to get more women out there. And I know that endurance is something that women are just, we're naturally gifted. We are designed to run for a long time. Like this is like hunting and gathering, like back genes. Like we're designed to go far, and we can reserve, you know, we have more fat in our body, you know, with our with different parts in our body. We just have naturally more fat, so we can go further compared to men. So yeah, it's interesting you bring this up, because I do feel that I don't think women realize how badass of a woman we can be. And we are, because we do have so much potential, but many of us, we're not even tapping into our potential because of all the fear that we have installed in ourselves. So I know we're getting close to the end of the podcast. I can't believe it's almost over. It goes by so quickly when we talk about things, but I have a few more questions. One is, do you have a bucket list race or a place where you really want to do a race?
Yeah, I have a couple. I definitely want to do Zion 100 miler. I think that would just be really pretty and really unique. And I did Antelope Canyon 50 miler as my first, so like desert. And that was really pretty and cool. So I'm like, oh, I want to see more desert, like, I don't know, just something different than what I'm used to. And then also in Portugal, there's this race, the Madeira, I think it's like Ultra Island Trail Race. And there's different distances, but there's 115K that looks really cool. So I'd love to do that one day.
And now, you know, if you go in internationally that you want to book at least like a 2 weeks, get there a week in advance. you've learned the gist of what you need to do for an international race now, right?
Yes.
And what and who inspires you? Do you have something that inspires you that kind of just like motivates you to be the best version of yourself?
Yeah. Well, I always like, I mean, I'm in a relationship. I have a fiance, so I definitely always want to be like the best person I can be for him, you know, and for a relationship, because I care so much about it. But otherwise, I would say like who inspires me. I really look up to Sally McRae. She's just like a badass ultra runner. Oh my gosh. I love watching her videos. She's so strong. And like one day I'm like, oh, I need to do some of her workouts. Like, oh, she's just so cool. And then I also have a friend who I met him because I paced him in a Tahoe when he did the Tahoe 200, and he's like 71, and he's out there doing like 200 plus mile races. When I paced him, he was like 68, and he got 17th place. And it was just amazing to see someone like, and he's been running, you know, ultras his whole life and all that. And so it was just to see like he's so fine. Like he has learned so much and he's used all that knowledge so well, and he plans and he executes. And it's just awesome to see someone who can, you know, into his 70s is still running and pushing himself and having these big goals. And so, yeah.
Is there anything that he's shared with you that you just kind of were mind blown or like, wow, I wish I could experience that one day, or some knowledge that I'm sure he has shared something where you're just like, wow, that's awesome.
I don't know. I mean, just his dedication. Like I think he's just like a perfect example of like, when you want something, you know, you work for it and you get it. Like he does all of his training runs, like he does the work, like he's so consistent. And that's something that I struggle with. So every time I always think of him, like when I'm trying to, you know, stay consistent with my running, and I think to him and I think of the success that he's had. And it's because he puts the work in, and it's because he's consistent and he keeps on it. Yeah.
Thank you, Felicia. And my last question is, any final thoughts or words of encouragement you want to share for anyone who's starting off their trail running or ultra running journey?
I would just encourage you to go out there, to sign up for that race that you're thinking about, or volunteer if, you know, you're still too nervous to you know, sign up. It's just, it's an incredible experience. I think it's something that you'll cherish, even if it's maybe you find it's not for you, you'll still remember it. You'll still talk about it. It will be a great experience. I highly recommend getting out on the trail. It's done so much for me in my life and others that I talk to. It's so fun. Get out there.
And how can people find you?
Yeah, I guess the best way would be I'm basically mostly on Instagram. You can follow Trail Sisters at trail_sisters San Jose. But either way, Trail Sisters San Jose, look that up on Instagram. It should pop up. And then I'm Irie Vegan on Instagram. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. Oh my God, I feel like we can talk on forever. And do you have a race coming up, the next race coming up?
Yeah, so my next one, I'm actually going to do Big Sur, which is a road marathon, but at least I'll get some ocean views, hopefully. And then I'm going to do a 50K in Berkeley in May. Yeah.
Well, best of luck in your upcoming races. I know we could have talked about your whole like road running background as well. I saw that you did Berlin, and it's just like there's so much to talk about. But thank you so much, Felicia, for joining me on the show today. And everyone, make sure you guys check her out. I will be linking her Instagram and the Trail Sisters in San Jose in the show notes. So make sure you guys check that out.
All right. Thank you so much, Daisy.
Thank you. Bye.